Do you get excited about Christmas? Apparently not. Do you get excited about Christmas?
Yes.
I get excited about Christmas. I love to read the gospel reminders of Christmas. And I hope that if that hasn't been your tradition, or maybe you just haven't found time, I hope that you find time to read the gospel reminders. Luke is a great place. Luke 1 and 2. We're going to look at Matthew 2 today. Just be reminded of the beautiful story of God sending His Son. Thank you for coming on this wonderful Christmas morning. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, we just thank you. We've got so many things to be thankful for. You've been so good to us. And Lord, I know there are people here this morning that hurt in different ways. And I just know that. I know that people have lost their loved ones this week, this last month, this year, the last 2-3 years. And there's that void. And I know that people are hurting from other reasons. They've had surgeries. They've been hospitalized. Their loved ones are in a care center. They've found out they got cancer or 100 other things. But I pray, Father, help us to sense the joy of Jesus. Over these next days, here today, tomorrow even here, as we come together again tomorrow night to sing and to celebrate and worship you, Christmas Day, when folks will be gathering together, and perhaps even throughout the week, I just pray that people would sense the joy and the peace that is ours in Jesus. And Father, I guess I would pray above all else, if we've never experienced the joy and the peace of Jesus, we would come boldly to your throne of grace by faith and receive Christ as Lord by faith, so that we can just experience that joy and experience that peace that Jesus so willingly offers and provides. I thank you, Father, for everyone here. I thank you, Father, for everyone in churches all over. I thank you for people in our communities, some who wanted to be in church, and yet the flus have stricken folks, and people are sick, and people are traveling. And I just pray that you'd be with everyone, in church and out of churches, sick, traveling, whatever the case may be. I pray, Father, that this day and this season would be one of renewed strength in you. There's a lot of names on our prayer focus, Lord, and we lift them up to you and just say thank you for watching over them. We commit them to you. There's a lot of hurts in America. There's a lot of difficulties in America, and we lift that up to you and say, thank you, Father, we get to live in America. We get to celebrate Jesus. There's so many things to be thankful for this morning, O Lord. I thank you for each one here. You know them by name. You know what's going on in their hearts. You know their hurts. You know their joys. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Matthew's account, a little different than Mark and John and Luke. Thank you for the scriptures that remind us of this wonderful story, this gift that you give to humanity. And so as we look at it again a while this morning, Father, guide us by your Spirit. Guide churches everywhere by your Spirit. May the name of Jesus be lifted up and you, our Heavenly Father, be glorified. May your Spirit lead us now as we look at scripture a little while and just ponder what it says and are reminded again of this story. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, I mentioned that already. If you've got your Bible, I'd invite you to turn there. And if you don't, well, that's okay. We'll probably have it on the big screen for you anyway. Most of you know that as we've been going through this Advent season, we've talked about some questions. A lot of questions come to my mind when I start pondering the Christmas story. And a lot of those questions are answered in Scripture, and some of that is just my mind wondering about those things that revolve around Christmas. You know, we've already looked at why did he come as a baby. You know, we've already looked at why was it the shepherds that received the heavenly announcement. And now we're going to look at a little bit why these magi, kings, wise men, whatever we want to call them. And so Matthew chapter 2 tells us about that story. Let's take a look for the first 12 verses, beginning at verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now let me say this, because I think you know this already, but let me say it. When it says after Jesus was born, this is not on the same night. This is not on the same night. We looked at the shepherds coming to the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes last week. This is not the same night. It's the same larger event. It's the same child, the Christ, the Emmanuel, but this is probably several months later. You'll see that hinted and indicated through these 12 verses. So, okay, Jesus has been born. We saw last week the shepherds had a heavenly visitation. The shepherds then went down and they visited the brand new baby. They were told who he was, and they went to visit him, and they told people of the heavenly message, and they told the people of what they had seen. Okay, now we're some months later. Joseph and Mary are still in the vicinity. Remember, he went down there to be taxed. The Roman government wanted to get all they could out of the folks. So he's there from where his descendants are from. He's probably got relation in the area. He's probably staying with one of them. And you're going to see that hinted throughout these verses. He's no longer the tiny one-day-old baby. He's now probably some months old. So that's why it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it's some time later. So we've got these strangers showing up. Bible calls them wise men from someplace in the east. They arrive here in Jerusalem and they're inquiring, where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we, these wise men say, have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Now the Bible says, when Herod, the king, you know that Herod is the overseeing ruler of the region. When he heard this news about this king being born, the Bible says he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Now, he needed to inquire about this further. And so the Bible says when he, that's Herod, gathered the chief priest, he knew that if anybody knew anything about future kings, Jewish kings being born, he knew the chief priests and the scribes would. And so he gathers them together and he inquires of them, so where's this Christ supposed to be born anyway? And the chief priest, well-versed, the scribes, well-versed in Old Testament scripture, knew that Micah had written in chapter 5, if you want to look at this, verse 2, they had written this prophecy. So they said to him, that's the scribes and chief priests to Herod, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They knew enough about that to know that there would come a day when this ruler of the Jewish people would be born in Bethlehem. So that's what they told Herod. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them what time the star appeared. In other words, he was asking them, how long have you been following this star? And probably even a little curious is, how old is this child? When did you see it? How long have you been following it? And he was pondering, how old might this child be? So he asked them to determine what time the star appeared. And then Herod sent them to Bethlehem, and he said to them, go and search carefully for the young child. There's another hint. He's not the baby in the manger now. He's grown a few months at least. And when you have found him, Herod says, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Now all you have to do is read through the rest of the chapter and you know that he did not have worship in mind. Killing him, extinguishing him, taking away the competition, yes, he had that in mind. But he said to the Magi, find him, bring back word to me, tell me where he's at, so I can come see him and worship him too. That was a lie. He didn't have any intention of worshiping him. When they heard the king, that's the wise men again, departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So apparently, I'm not trying to read between the lines here, but apparently as they arrived in Jerusalem, they maybe did or didn't see the star at that point, but once they have been told it's in Bethlehem, the Bible says the star has appeared, they see it again, and 11 says, or 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, following the star to Bethlehem. Now, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child, further indicators of a few months along, young child in house are those indicators to us, with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These all would be very expensive gifts, fitting of a king, appropriate to bring. And the Bible says, when they had opened their treasures, they presented those gifts to him. And lastly, for this morning's reading, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country in another way. Now, we all know this story, but as I read through stories, I formulate questions in my mind and I wonder about these things. Let me ask you a couple things and see if you wonder about these also. I wonder, how did these wise men, who are not anywhere near Jerusalem, know about a king being born? We know they're following a star, but how did they know about a king being born, and seemingly no one else in Jerusalem was aware? Do you see where I'm coming from? It's kind of like the shepherds we were talking about last week. The angels delivered this wonderful message to a bunch of sheep herders. They dash down to Bethlehem. They find this baby. They worship him. And they tell everybody they see as they slip back to take care of their sheep. They believe the heavenly message. The Magi, wise men, kings, whatever you want to call them, apparently believed this inclination about this king of the Jews. My question is, that I have been wondering about, why was it that these wise men knew about a king being born? The Pharisees, the chief priests, the nation of Israel would have been longing to have this message reported to them because they were longing for a Messiah and a king. But why was it seemingly on this day, it was only the wise men that knew anything about this birth? And then I add in the phrase that we just read here in verse 3, and I wonder about that. Verse 3 said, when Herod the king heard this news, that's the news, where is he who was born king of the Jews, he was troubled. I get that. I understand why he would be troubled. This indicates competition. He didn't need competition. But I ask myself, and I wonder, why was all of Jerusalem troubled with him? Should not Jerusalem have been anticipating this heavenly announcement? Should not the Jewish people, the Israelites, be longing for this news? They had read the Isaiahs, they had read the Micahs, they had read the Zacharias that pointed them to the Messiah. And I read this and I wonder, What does "and all Jerusalem with him" mean? Why were they troubled about this good news? Did they forget completely what Isaiah said when he said, "For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is going to be given"? Had they forgotten this prophecy that really, I'm sure, that they were longing to happen? And then I wonder this. The Magi are there. They're inquiring to Herod, who in turn inquires to the Jewish leaders, where's this guy going to be born anyway? And they lay out the answer to him. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. And so the Magi have one goal. I'm going to start heading to Bethlehem. And I begin to read that, and I wonder, why did not the chief priests send people right along with them to find this king of the Jews? And as I think about these questions, I wonder how much different we are. Are we really interested in Jesus? Do we even care? Well, we care about him at Christmas time. Maybe, matter of fact, we might even care a little bit around Easter time. But I wonder sometimes when and I'm not trying to blame chief priests, Pharisees, people of Israel, or anything else. I'm just wondering, because my mind just wanders and wanders. You know what I'm saying? Perhaps yours wanders and wanders too. But why, if the Magi are here inquiring, where is he who was born the king of the Jews, why are not the religious leaders, why are not the peasants even of the day longing to go see him too? And that's when I wonder, are they any different than us, really? When we have the Word of God, we have churches all about, we have Christian radio, we have Christian TV, and we know that the news is there, but we never seem to get any, perhaps, and I'm not blaming anybody here, but it seems like as a society, we never seem to get all that excited about this heavenly news. You see what I'm saying? I wonder how much different we are, really, than the people of Jerusalem that day when they had this announcement. And after all, it was only a few months prior that these sheep herders had been visited by this heavenly delegation. They dash down to Bethlehem. They see the baby. They tell people about that. That wasn't that long ago. Had nobody spoken about that? And if they had spoken about it, what did they do with the news? And again, I wonder, did we respond any different? We've heard the heavenly news. And I ask us again today, like I've been asking for the last 2 or 3 weeks in this Advent season, what have we done with Jesus? I'm starting to get a picture here, and like I said, I'm not trying to blame anybody, but I'm starting to get a picture here. Nobody did a whole lot with the news. Nobody did a whole lot with Jesus. And I wonder, is Jim any different? What have I done with Jesus? Have I decided he's real? Have I decided that the Word of God is true? Have I embraced him in his mission of coming as a baby, yes, but his mission of the cross? Or am I like the scribes and Pharisees and perhaps those people that the shepherds told that day? And I suppose that could be good news. Maybe good for you. Ain't so good for me. What have I done with Jesus? You see, that's what he's still asking of us. 21st century. What do we do with the news? What do we do with the gift? What do we do with Jesus? I don't have the answers as my mind wanders. Why didn't the chief priests send people straightway behind these Magi and see if what they're talking about is real? I don't have those answers. Other than, I wonder if humanity is any different today than it was then. Because we can get really excited about a lot of things in life, friends. I've seen it and so have you. We can get really excited about a lot of things, but then when it comes to Jesus, I'm pretty excited about that. You know what I'm saying? We're not excited about that. This was the best news they could have ever anticipated and heard. And I wonder if they're just at human nature. Yeah, three cheers. Micah said something about him being born in Bethlehem, but I'm not even going to follow the wise men to see if they're right. I wonder if we're any different. Somewhere in the back of our lives, or in the back of our mind, or in the back of our teaching, we've heard about Jesus, and we're about as excited about that in America today, and even in the church houses of America today, as the Pharisees seem to be in that day. Yeah, go ahead and check him out. I don't have time. Maybe I'm all wrong in my conclusion here, but I think human tendencies are the same. We're not that excited about Jesus. This was the best news the human race, the nation of Israel, could ever get. Strangers come riding in on camels. We assume. I mean, it doesn't say they came out on camels. We don't even know there's three. We think there's three. We sing about three because they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't know if there's three or 23. We really don't. That's not the point. These strangers came from the east with his heavenly news to Herod, and he summoned the chief priests, the religious leaders, the people who were supposed to be in the know about God and his gift, and they kind of greeted with ho-hum. A little bit troubled, not sure what to do with the news. But I wonder sometimes, are we any different? What have we done with the news? What have we done with the gift? Let me throw out some observations here and then move on. Herod was troubled. I get that, and I know why. But why was Jerusalem troubled at the best news they could have got? Why does it seem like Jesus is offensive to even Americans today? Why does it seem like we can do this and we can do that, we can talk about this and we can talk about that, but why does it seem that the name of Jesus is offensive today? It seems like we fall into the same category that Jerusalem did, and they were troubled at the idea of the King of the Jews arriving. So I observe and I conclude these things, these four categories of people from this little story. Number one, these Gentile pagan kings, priests, magi, they were honestly and earnestly seeking the King of the Jews to worship him. That's one category. Another thing I conclude here, and I just have to read a little further in the chapter to know this to be a fact, Herod planned to kill the King of the Jews. And I believe in society today there's that class of people that would do the same thing. Snuff him out. Get his name wiped off everything else because I don't want to talk about him. That's Herod's class. Then there's the Jewish high priest, I conclude from this little reading here, and scribes who were indifferent to the news. I don't read, and I could be wrong, but I don't read where they're excited about it. I don't read where they sent a delegation down there to inspect it. I don't read anything about that. I read, and other commentaries that I read draw this conclusion: the Jewish high priests and scribes were nothing more than indifferent to the news. Let me just say this about being indifferent, friends. You can't be indifferent about Jesus and expect to be his child and expect to be with him forever. Are you hearing me this morning? You can't be indifferent like it appears his own people were that day. We have to ask ourselves and we have to decide, what am I going to do with Jesus? If we're going to become his child, we're going to have to ask ourselves and respond to, what am I going to do with Jesus? Indifference isn't going to do it. And then there's one other class. That's the all of Jerusalem that was troubled about this news. Now let me just say this about a couple more verses. Our time is going, so I need to move on. Not more verses, ones that I've already read. When they, this, I'm at verse 10 again, that's the wise men, saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. That's why I say perhaps there was a time when they arrived onto Jerusalem, they didn't see the star or it wasn't that clear or whatever. And there's lots of different commentaries to suggest it's lots of different things, maybe a comet, maybe a supernova, maybe these planets all lining up. Whatever. I believe it was orchestrated by God, myself. I'm just going to keep it simple. After all, the wise men were divinely warned in a dream after they had worshipped him. Divinely warned to me means God warned them to not go back to Jerusalem and tell Herod, but go a different way. It suggests to me that perhaps they had some divine insight in the beginning. And so, anyway, and when they had come into the house, verse 11 says, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and they worshiped him. They worshiped him, these Gentile magi. These strangers, we don't even know where they came from, really. Might be Iran, might be Iraq, maybe somewhere as far as Yemen, Sheba. We really don't even know where they came from. They said, we have come from the east because we have seen this star. And so we know they come from a long way. We know they traveled for months. We know that they had a specific purpose in mind. It was to worship the King of the Jews. When they got there, they didn't come to worship Mary. They didn't come to worship Joseph. They came to worship the King of the Jews. They came to worship the Christ, which means Messiah. They came to worship the Emmanuel, which means God with us. They didn't even come to visit with the parents. They came to worship the King. And seemingly, I just believe this is part of God's plan, part of God's heavenly announcement, part of his enlightening to the people of the time. Seemingly, they were not Jews, perhaps even pagans, but seemingly excited to worship this King of the Jews. They weren't down there looking for his parents. They were down there looking for the King. And I believe we see God's handprint all over this story and the stories that we've looked at for the last two or three weeks. Teenage virgin bearing a child. Hello, this is not normal. Divine handprint. God announcing with a heavenly messenger and then a multitude of heavenly hosts we saw last week from Luke 2. Not to the chief priests, not to the scribes, not to the synagogue leaders, to sheep herders. Somewhere along the line, God instilling in these Gentile kings, magi, wise men, astrologers, astronomers, whatever they were, obviously they were that, they studied the stars. God impressing upon them, there's his star. I see the hand of God in all of this. Amen? Divine imprint. Divine intervention. The tragedy of all this, I don't know who Mary told and who she didn't, but apparently most of them didn't believe her. I don't know who the shepherds told and who they didn't, but apparently they didn't believe them either. I know who these magi told. The Bible tells us they told Herod, and he consulted the religious people of the day, and apparently they didn't believe him either. That's my point of the whole story. They missed it. And friends, I'm telling you, not to be judgmental, but we're missing the story in America today. We're missing it. We're indifferent. We're troubled by this whole Jesus news, not even sure what to do with it. I'm suggesting to us today, if we do nothing with it, we've missed it forever. And I'm simply suggesting to us today that God had His divine handprint about all over this story, all over it. He sent His Son as the greatest gift to the human race that we could ever get. We're going to open up presents. Some of you are. Some of you are going to celebrate around them. You're going to have fun. You're going to have family over. And we're going to open up presents. God has sent us the greatest present we could ever get. And too much of the time, we're indifferent. We're troubled. Not sure what to do with it. I'm telling us, brothers and sisters, this is not a denominational thing. This is not a gym thing. I'm telling you, if we don't do something with Jesus, we're going to miss it forever. Not just for today or tomorrow, but forever. We need to ask ourselves, what will I do with Jesus? Is He Lord? Or am I just indifferent? Have I surrendered my life completely to Him? Have I said, God, I need You. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior, and I know Jesus is the sent as the Savior of the world. Have I believed in it? Have I embraced Him by faith? That's receiving the gift. If we go through life and we never do something about this gift, if we're just indifferent, we're just thinking, I'm a pretty good person. Matter of fact, I got a membership over here at the church. If we're just going through life troubled or indifferent, or in our mind even angry at Him like Herod was, we've missed the greatest gift the human race ever got. We've missed it. And in missing the gift, we will miss out on eternity. That's what the Word says. And so I simply say, friends, as I close and we sing this last Christmas song together, the Magi, they brought Him these wonderful gifts, expensive gifts, fit for a king. Yeah, you can come, Jess. Because that's what He deserved as king. He deserved the gold. He deserved the frankincense. He deserved the myrrh. He deserved this stuff because He was king. And as I was pondering this story again this week, I asked myself, what does He want from me? Does He want gold? Does He want frankincense? Does He want myrrh? What He wants is your heart and my heart. That's what He wants. I simply ask us, have we given Jesus our heart, invited Him to come into our life? Are we willing to be followers of Jesus? Let's close in prayer. God, we praise You for this gift that You have given to humanity in Jesus Christ, Your Son. We praise You for the grace that You have been willing to give us, the mercy, the forgiveness of sin. We praise You, Almighty God, for the love that You have shown us in Your Son. We praise You, Jesus, for coming. Not only coming to a lowly little old place, but to going to the cross to die for our sin. We praise You for all of this and more this morning, Heavenly Father. And I pray, oh God, that if we're here today, seemingly falling into one of these categories of the men and people that we saw in this story, help us to move from troubled or indifferent or angry to rejoicing in the news and embracing the Lord as Savior. Help us to embrace the Christ, this gift of God to humanity, by faith and be born again. Help us, Heavenly Father, to embrace Jesus by faith and hear His bidding as He bid to the 12, come, follow me. Help us to decide what I'm going to do about Jesus. Go with each and every one here today, Father. Bless their Christmas season. Bless them this week. Maybe many will come tomorrow night or celebrate someplace on a Christmas Eve service tomorrow night. Bless that time. Bless their Christmas. But draw us to you, Father, through faith in your Son, to that relationship with you, Heavenly Father, that's real and eternal. Help us not to miss the gift. I pray it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.